All of Scripture is ultimately about Jesus Christ. The Old Testament illustrates the need for and points forward to the coming Messiah. The Gospels describe the incarnation, life, ministry, death, and resurrection of Jesus. And the rest of the New Testament looks back to Jesus and the implications of his person and ministry, as well as his imminent return. It's all about Jesus. So it's important that we grow in a wise and balanced understanding of our Savior. Welcome to Delight in the Word, the preaching ministry of Paul Tauchus, pastor at Cornerstone Community Church in Cleveland, Ohio. Last time, we began to look at the exalted lordship of Jesus in a message titled, The Vindication of Jesus Christ. Because Jesus humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death on a cross, the Apostle Paul says that God exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 1 that God raised Jesus from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. In today's broadcast, Pastor Paul continues his message on Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 to 11. What does the apostle mean when he says that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord? And what are the implications for our lives? Let's open our Bibles to Philippians chapter 2 as we together delight in the Word.
In Acts chapter 4, after God healed a crippled man, the rulers demanded an explanation from Peter as to how did you perform this miracle? Peter then, it says, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers of the people and elders, if we are being examined today concerning a good deed done to a crippled man, by what means this man has been healed, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man is standing before you well. This Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders, which has become the cornerstone. And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." The reason that statement is true is because Jesus Christ is Lord. The reason Jesus is the only name that saves is because Jesus is the only Lord. There is no other. All other gods are idols. And so we are presented with the lordship of Christ and we are called to bow before him. And those who reject Jesus as Lord, or even those so-called evangelicals who reject the gospel's demand to sinners to submit to the lordship of Christ, fly in the face of Romans 10, 9 and 10, which says, "Because if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved." There is no salvation outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is in his humiliation that took him to the cross that he demonstrated God's love toward us as sinners. When we were helpless, this merciful Savior died for us, the ungodly ones, the ones who could never save ourselves. The name given to the Son of God at his incarnation was Jesus. The name given to him at his exaltation is Lord. He is forever the Lord Jesus Christ. That is his reward. Look then with me at the result, verses 10 and 11. There is a twofold result of this exaltation of the Lord Jesus Christ to the right hand of God. Notice first that Jesus Christ will be worshipped. Verse 10, "So that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. When you look at that concept throughout Scripture, knees bowing, what you find is homage, submission to the King, bowing in worship, lowering oneself before the one who is worthy of worship. And so this is speaking of the worship that Jesus will receive. And notice that it will come first from every knee. Every knee will bow to Jesus Christ. Notice it says that, every knee. Not just some knees. Every knee will bow to Jesus someday. And Paul goes on to be very clear. He includes three groups of people. He says, every person in heaven, every knee should bow in heaven. So every believer will bow in submission to Christ. We will continue to proclaim his lordship through all eternity. Writing to Christians, the Apostle Paul said in the book of Romans, "For we will all stand before the judgment seat of God. For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then each of us will give an account of himself to God." And all of this happening in the Lord's return, that believers in heaven will bow before the Lord and before the judgment seat of Christ. And all of our works as believers will be judged. Our life before Christ will not be judged. That is washed under the blood of our merciful Savior. But what we've done with the stewardship of our Christian life will be judged by the Lord. And so every person in heaven will bow their knee to Jesus. But also, Paul says, every person on earth, in heaven and on earth. So every person alive on earth when Jesus returns will bow the knee. Psalm 86 says, "There is none like you among the gods, O Lord, nor are there any works like yours. All the nations you have made shall come and worship before you, O Lord, and shall glorify your name." Every person on earth, when the Lord Jesus returns in all of his glory, will bow the knee to him. But then notice, thirdly, every person under the earth, which is a phrase that means hell. Every person in hell will bow their knee to Jesus Christ, both human and angelic, demonic. Those who rejected Christ as Lord in this life will one day confess him as Lord, but it will be too late. Revelation 20 is one of the most terrifying chapters in all of the Bible. And it describes that future final judgment. It's called the Great White Throne Judgment, and John writes this about it. "And the sea gave up the dead who were in it. Death and Hades, or hell, gave up the dead who were in them. And they were judged, each one of them, according to what they had done. Then death and Hades, or hell, were thrown into the lake of fire." This is the second death, the lake of fire. "And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire." Every knee will bow. And for those of us who know and love Christ, passages like that should break our hearts. For we all know people, we all have friends and family and neighbors who do not know Jesus Christ. They refuse to bow the knee to him now. And Scripture says that if they do not bow in this lifetime, there will come a day in which they will bow, but it will be too late. And all they have to look forward to is an eternity that is separated from God. So every knee will bow, the apostle says. But also, notice verse 11, every tongue will confess Jesus Christ is Lord. Believers confess Jesus is Lord now, and we receive forgiveness of sins and reconciliation to God and the promise of eternal life. But even unbelievers will confess Christ as Lord, every tongue. But again, as has already been said, it will be too late. Though a confession of Christ's lordship will come from their lips, because they will be forced to confess him as Lord, it will be a hollow, empty confession with no life behind it. The life they lived on earth will be the evidence of their independence from God. Listen to what Jesus said in Matthew 7. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do mighty works in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. There are many who will confess Jesus is Lord, but the confession is an empty confession with no real, vibrant, spiritual life behind it. No godly life to back up the profession of faith that Christ is the one who not only comes to save sinners, but also to sanctify them and change them, transform them into his image. And what Jesus is saying to us is this: all the religious works in the world without a relationship with him gives you no credit before God. Many, he says, many, not few, many. See, broad is the road that leads to destruction, Jesus said, and many there be that find it. Few or narrow is the road that leads to life, and few there are that find it. Many, Jesus says, many will say, didn't we do this? Didn't we do that? And didn't we even do things that looked like miracles? Casting out demons and mighty works and all of these things. And yet Jesus will look and say, I never knew you. In other words, you were never mine. You never bowed your knee to me. Every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. So Jesus will be worshipped. That's one of the results, but the final result, notice, is that God will be glorified. I stand amazed at the way the Holy Spirit wrote Scripture. I stand amazed at the way this sentence ends. There is nothing left for guesswork. There is nothing left for speculation. It is all to the glory of God. So the culmination of the worship of Jesus as Lord will be to the glory of God, which is the ultimate end of all things. Jesus created all things for his glory. Excuse me, God the Father. Jesus, of course, was involved in creation. But when you're talking about the different persons of the Trinity, and we're talking about the ultimate glorification of God as being the ultimate end of all things. Jesus is the radiance of the glory of God. And Jesus came to this earth to glorify not himself, but the Father. And so everything in earth history is moving toward that final day when God will be glorified. Everything is moving toward that. When Jesus returns, he said it will be in his glory and the glory of the Father and of the holy angels. And I think the most striking declaration of this truth is found in 1 Corinthians 15. Would you look at it with me? This is unbelievable. 1 Corinthians 15, the resurrection chapter. Where Paul makes the argument that if Jesus Christ has not been raised from the dead, for which there were multitudes of witnesses, then there is no hope for us. Then our faith is in vain, and surely there will be no resurrection for us. But we know that's not true. Jesus has been raised. He's been raised as the fruit, first fruits of all those who will be raised unto life. Notice at that final resurrection, verse 26, the last enemy to be destroyed is death. For God has put all things in subjection under his feet. But when it says all things are put in subjection, it is plain that he is accepted who put all things in subjection under him. When all things are subjected to him, then the Son himself will also be subjected to him who put all things in subjection under him, that God may be all in all. Now, I understand at first glance it looks like a very difficult verse to understand, but notice what the apostle is saying. That we who know and love Christ, we have been subjected to Christ. Christ then subjects himself to the Father, and therefore all is for the glory of God. So Jesus humbled himself to the point of death. Jesus was humiliated by sinners, but Jesus will one day be vindicated. He will one day receive the worship that he deserves. And when that does, what this text is saying is that he will hand it all over to God, the Father, who will be glorified. Jesus will bring his bride. He will bring his church. He will bring the peoples from every tongue and tribe and nation who have bowed their knee to him in their lifetime. Bring them to the Father as a gift. Worshippers. Who will bring him glory. And then, and only then, will our suffering and humble and disgracefully humiliated Savior be vindicated. And all will know who he is. And all will fall down before him. My friend, you have a choice to make this morning. The choice is not whether or not Jesus is Lord. That's fact. He is Lord. What lies before you is the choice to either bow your knee to him as Lord now and receive forgiveness of sin and be reconciled to God and be made one with Jesus and receive eternal life, or to continue to resist him, to dig in your heels and resist bowing your knee to him. But let me say very clearly to you, the scriptures are very clear. All you have done is postponed your bow you will bow to him. I will bow to him. Every person in this room will bow to him. Please, please bow to him now. Please bow to him today and be saved. Father, we come before you as sinners who do not deserve any mercy or grace from you. We have offended your holiness more times than we can count. We have trampled upon your mercy and your grace. We have disregarded your word. We are sinners both by nature and by choice. But you, God, being rich in mercy, you have sent your Son to be our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who endured the suffering that our sin deserved, that we deserved on the cross of Calvary, taking your wrath far away from us. And you raised him from the dead to proclaim to the world that he is Lord and he is the one and only Savior. Father, we long for the day in which he will be vindicated, when he comes again and all the world will know who he is. But it's not all the world that we're thinking about at this very moment. It's our own hearts. It's our own wills. It's the salvation of our own souls. So, Father, I pray for anyone here today, or anyone who is listening online today. Oh, may your Holy Spirit work in their hearts and so woo them by your love and grace and mercy, and show them the exalted Lord Jesus, and they will come to him and receive the mercy and forgiveness that he alone provides. Bring them, Lord, to that place of bowing before Jesus Christ. Father, for all of us who already know the Lord Jesus, oh, would you build within our hearts an exalted view of him, that we might live in submission to his lordship, a growing level of submission each and every day, of our hearts, our minds, our wills, our lives. And Father, may you give us a heart of compassion toward those who do not yet know Christ. May the horrors of hell haunt us, that we may be compelled to tell others of Christ and his mercy, that they too might know him and be rescued and redeemed. So, Father, do this work in our hearts this morning to your glory, for we know that ultimately everything is moving toward that you will be glorified. In the name of Jesus, it is that we pray. Amen.
One day, every knee will bow to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. There is no doubt about it. And for each one of us, it's going to happen either in this life, when we repent and trust in Christ as our Savior and live in joyful submission to him as Lord, or after we die, when we see Jesus as the righteous judge and he judges us for our sin and rebellion. That's the stark reality. There's no middle ground. Our prayer is that if you have not already done so, you will settle this issue sooner than later. Come to Jesus by faith and receive him as your Savior and Lord, and he will give you eternal life as a free gift. The Apostle John says in 1 John 5, 11-12, "And this is the testimony, that God gave us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. And as we've been learning, Jesus calls all believers to follow his example of humility. It's a character quality that glorifies God and promotes unity among the brethren, but it doesn't come naturally to us. So this month we're offering an outstanding book written by Andrew Murray titled Humility. And we'll send you a copy as a thank you gift for your support of this ministry of any amount. You can give to this ministry on our website at delightintheword.org. And thank you. While you're there, you can download a copy of this message, and you'll also find a variety of helpful resources to encourage you in your growth in Christ. You can also find Delight in the Word on many of your favorite podcast platforms. If you live in the Cleveland area and you're not already involved in a local church, we invite you to visit us at Cornerstone. We'd love to meet you and worship our Lord along with you. This program has been sponsored by Cornerstone Community Church in Mayfield Heights, Ohio. Be sure to join us next time as we together delight in the Word.